Broadsheet Radio Network.
Hiya pals, welcome back to another episode of Under the Kilt with me, Adam McNamara.
And me, Natalie Younger.
And if you're just joining us for the first time, this is a history podcast that's kind of more banter than history.
Don't spoil it, Adam.
We try our best. We started this because we thought, you know, there's some stories, especially in Scottish history, which is what this is about, that's been kind of brushed under the carpet and it doesn't really get spoken about a lot. Or things are just kind of like touched on briefly. So we decided to start this podcast, get guests on and have a like blather.
We are very serious and scholarly always.
Yeah. So what is Under the Kilt today?
Oh man, I'm glad you asked. I got some Jaffa cakes.
Jesus, your props. What? Where'd you get them?
Are Jaffa cakes not what's under the kilt? How about some Jammy Dodgers?
Did you go to like a British shop?
How about some hobnobs?
Oh, Jesus, you did.
No, I went to an Irish shop specifically.
An Irish shop?
Yes, that is where I was texting you and asking you what brand of brown sauce to get.
That's the one, and I said HP.
And that's what I got, so yeah. I'll give you
not
my...
Not sponsored by HP.
But open to it? So I have snacks, which means I'm ready.
Well, I mean, with those snacks under your kilt, you'd be great for walking up a Monroe for energy.
Just a light picnic.
Well, just to crack on, I know what's under the kilt today. Would you like to join me in this knowledge?
I would love to.
We have got an amazing actor on today, known for things such as Jamestown, Game of Thrones, Scarlet and the Duke, Army of Thieves, and he is a friend of mine, and he has a massive beard and lovely hair. Folks, it's with great pleasure, Stuart Martin. Welcome to Under the Kilt.
Hello. Thank you very much. Hello. I don't know why I went all sort of weirdly Highland.
Went full shifter. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. Sort of shortbread tin Scottish there. Hello.
That's better.
Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Oh, you know, I just read your IMDb, mate.
No, exactly.
That's just highlights.
I could see your eyes moving because I wasn't in Game of Thrones, Adam. Jesus. Or any of those things. I'm not even an actor.
How are you doing, man? I haven't seen you for ages.
I know, man. I'm very well, thank you very much. Everyone's been a bit hectic, haven't they? It's like we had the last couple of years and then everyone went crazy getting back to life and it's...
And where are you just now? You're not in Scotland or the UK?
I'm not in Scotland or the UK. I'm in LA just now. Shooting a thing over here for a couple of months. So it was lovely to go down the Scottish research rabbit hole as I have done over the past week and... You know, it's really taken me back to Scotland. It's been really, really lovely. So thank you very much for giving
thank
me
you.
That task. What seemed like a task.
Thank you for doing the homework.
Yeah. It has turned into a lovely experience in my life.
That's amazing, man. So where are you from in Scotland?
So I'm from Ayr, and that was sort of where my, you know, topic was going to take me today. And then I sort of started delving into other stuff, but you know, Ayr's got such a brilliant history and sort of, you know, you jump straight to the Robert Burns stuff. I lived in Alloway, just round the corner from his home. But there's also like a lot of William Wallace, amazing history down there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fascinating. It's got an amazing lowland history. So yeah, Ayr originally and then up to Glasgow when I was like 20.
Amazing. I mean, you live in London now, right?
We're in London, yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Except not right now. Right now, he's in LA.
Well, yes,
that's very true. But I don't live here. I'm just sort of
growing out your beard, passing through.
Exactly, always just growing.
I mean,
it's like,
I get you. You grow such a beautiful beard.
Ridiculous! Look, it's ridiculous. Look at my this is my original face. Look, it's like here.
You could braid that.
I know, but what's going to happen when it comes off? I'm really going to miss having like a proper face. I'm just going to have this no chin. Maybe I just keep it. Maybe I just keep going, you know.
Well, you know, they seem to have styled it a bit better because the one that I saw on your Instagram recently was huge.
What was that?
It was just this square of hair.
Are you sure that wasn't my t-shirt? Was that maybe just my t-shirt that you thought was my beard.
Honestly, it's rude because like facial hair can give a man who has no chin a defined jawline. And there isn't there isn't the same thing for women, and I am upset every
why not
that
there's
I
something
can't
you can have
beard.
But you can have that. There's no saying that you can't have that.
Yeah,
you know,
my face won't grow one, but I can build one, so I guess I'll build another beard.
Exactly, knit one.
Yeah. Just knit myself
what
a beard.
Knit one. Get a knitted beard for the winter.
Cozy.
Unless you've got a lovely jawline.
Oh, thank you.
You don't have to worry about having a beard.
I grow a beard because I have no hair. And
exactly,
I need some
balance.
Kind of definition on my face. Otherwise, it's just my eyebrows.
Some sort of split. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, in photos, it's just one. Where was Adam? Like, there he is.
It's like just a white circle.
It's like a worm.
My eyes.
All right, Stu. Listen.
He's listen, you're flattering me, but he's insulting you, and honestly, I'm okay with it.
Well, of course you're all right with it, because that's what you do every single week.
I shouldn't have done that. What have I done so early on in the show? I'm just going to get it now, haven't I?
Besides, Stuart,
and I can't take it. This is the thing.
I'm the safer side.
We are very aware that you are up against it today, time-wise. And so again,
sorry.
Thank you for... No, not at all. But thank you for making the time to slot us in to your busy schedule. So, I have to ask you, what are you doing here?
I don't know, Adam. What am I doing here? You tell me. It's just like you text me. You said about 6 minutes ago, what are you up to this afternoon? And then it's like a Zoom. I think you're just going to be chatting to me. And then...
Liar.
25 people on the line. I'm... here to talk about how I started was looking at my, you know, what could I talk about, and then I settled on my favorite film of all time, Jurassic Park, and
yes, the dinosaurs of Scotland. We're finally getting into it.
Oh, so are we talking about Scotland? Wait a minute.
Oh my god, like that cartoon, the Ness, Loch Ness or the Nessie? What was that cartoon?
Can you imagine?
Oh god, anyway, carry on, crack on.
So one of my favourite films of all time, and you know, a film that I keep coming back to is Rob Roy, and I watched it, you know, for those that don't know, it's 96 it was made or released, around about the same time as another Scottish film, Braveheart, directed by the brilliant, amazing Michael Caton Jones. It's got an amazing cast. It's one of the most beautiful films you will see, you know, whether you're interested in Scottish history or or Scotland. It's got an incredible cast who I think have career best performances, each one of them. Tim Roth is incredible, Liam Neeson, Brian Cox, John Hurt, they're all amazing. And you know, I it's always been one of my favourite films, and I sort of find myself now coming back to it every year, weirdly. I sort of have this that in the office, and I sort of have this want to go back and watch it.
Very similar work.
Very. There's sort of just the very, I think it's comfort, isn't it, you know, when you're away from home or whatever. So Rob Roy was where I started, and I expected to have a bit of a Braveheart epiphany with it, and I almost didn't want to research it, actually, because I was worried. I thought, oh god, it's going to change the film for me, because I'm
right, yeah. Because Braveheart's so off the mark.
Exactly,
isn't
yeah.
It? Yeah.
Exactly, and you're going to have to, you know, you have to Hollywood eyes or even film eyes to make it into a coherent story, to make your hero into a black and white hero and your baddie into a black and white villain. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to see, and that's what we respond to, especially in films then. So I was kind of worried, like, going into Rob Roy, that I was going to discover that actually he was... you know, not that it would have mattered, but gentry or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But actually, it's very, very close to... The film covers this period, which is probably around... Let's check my dates, because I'm terrible with dates. And the 17 and the 15. It must be 15, 11, huh?
17.
Thank you. There we go.
I at least... I know. He was in The Jacobite Rising.
Exactly. But I've got sort of, like, dyslexia with numbers, and I'm always like... You know, the 17th century, 18th...
Well, that's confusing. That's... Everyone has
exactly, that is...
The 18th century is not the 1800s, and
isn't
that's
it?
Stupid.
Yeah.
That is so daft.
We should write a letter.
I'm sorry, let's get that changed.
We should get a petition. We'll put it on our website.
Yeah, please. Because I have to go 21st century, 20th... But yeah, so Rob Roy was born in 1671, and the film sort of covers this period around 1711. So he's still a young man. And that period of probably 5 years is compressed, but it's pretty spot on, which I was amazed by and sort of loved. I went, oh wow, this guy, this legend, this sort of Scottish Robin Hood did exist, and he existed in this way, which makes me love the film all the more.
Because the film could have oversimplified the Scottish Robin Hood thing. Like, they could have
100%.
It could have been a gross oversimplification of it.
But I mean, like, even some of the history books that I've read, I mean, there's the Scottish Enlightenment. Like, when I finished that, I was like, well, there's about 8 films in that then. Do you know what I mean? Like, our history is so rich and complex that it's amazing that there aren't more stories based on those historic moments, because they are so amazing and layered.
Agreed, yeah. I mean, that's what I was sort of finding is, like, my God, you know, we're concentrating on a couple of heroes that we know that have been passed down, but, you know, there's thousands of heroes or well-known stories out there, never mind delving into, you know, the story of a villager who did this or any of those sort of lost stories.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, funnily enough, I've done a lot of beard shows, I've done a lot of history shows, and I loved going into the history, and I've loved going into, my main thing with research is going back before it and going into the cultural and political thing. I think that tells you so much about where you are now.
Yeah, setting like the context.
Yeah. 100%. You know, you have to go back and learn 100 years and understand where you've come from religiously, politically, and so I've always loved that. And with this, I sort of did the same. I'm going, I didn't know what the Jacobite, why and quite how it had come about. So going back there and discovering all that, and again, you're going, oh my God, who are these rulers that I've certainly not seen films about or heard about? And even trying to find stuff on Rob Roy, there's not any documentaries. I watched a couple of amazing ones on YouTube done by sort of great, going out of iPhone historians, a couple of brilliant ones. But there's no, I couldn't find any documentaries on them, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's so many, there's such a wealth of stories there that are totally untapped. And concentrate on Robert the Bruce. We've had one film on Rob Roy and William Wallace. It's funny.
Yeah, because they're probably the most, like, known.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're folk heroes at this point.
But also to America or to wherever else, it's those films made them known, didn't they? So it's,
I guess,
it's funny.
I mean, The Cocktail definitely helped Rob Roy's notoriety, the fact that there's a cocktail named for him. So,
well, I mean,
is there now?
Uh-huh.
Tell me about it.
What's in it?
It's basically a Manhattan, but with scotch instead of.
That's lazy.
That's a Rob Roy. Don't call Rob Roy lazy. He's delicious.
What's a Manhattan?
A whiskey and vermouth.
Again. What's vermouth?
This is
going all day because I genuinely.
That's about liquor.
I genuinely. I'm like, if you said it's Tennent's and whiskey, I go, oh, okay. Like, it's Tennent's and whiskey in a pint glass.
And Bills.
On a shot. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Pause for a second. We have to cut in to play everybody's favorite game, Talking Scots.
Oh, it is my favorite.
It is, because sometimes you learn too, Adam.
I know, this is true. This is true.
We have our producer, Adam. Kathleen, back on the line.
Hi. Hello, listeners.
Oh, a little love line, a little Delilah from Love Line.
Hello, Kathleen.
Delilah. No one will know what we're talking about.
As always, Kathleen and I are trying to immerse ourselves in the Scottish language. And so we want to learn some more Scots. So, Stuart, what is our word today?
Your word today is donner.
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 Oh, God, us saying it's going to just sound like shit.
Well, so here's the thing. In addition to being it's a delicious kebab. Donner kebab.
It also could be a really cool reindeer. Friends with Blitzen? Yeah. No?
Yeah.
No? No one?
I feel like it is a reindeer, though.
Donner is a reindeer, yeah.
Donner.
It's Donner and Blitzen.
And Blitzen, another Scottish word.
Yeah.
I'm going to say both those guesses are wrong, though.
No one asked you.
Okay, I shut up at this bit.
I think we're geniuses.
Adam doesn't know. He's going to learn about this one, too. Yeah. Trust me.
I'll be honest with you, I don't.
Oh.
I don't. Is this an air word?
Whoa, this is, I went through some air words. I went, oh, that's just an air word? I don't think, no. I think you will know it, yeah.
All right, well, let's do our first guess with absolutely no context here.
We just did. Mine is a donor kebab.
Oh, was mine supposed to be a reindeer? Because I was just going to say that it's like your answer when someone's like, hey, what's going on? And you're like, donor.
I
always go for like the
obvious. Oh, I like it though.
My other guess then would be it's when you go too hard at the gym and you're just, somebody's like, hey, we're going to hit one more set. And you're like, nah, I'm a donor.
I'm a donor.
I love that.
Okay, you're borderline my horrible trend there on that one.
I know.
That's correct.
Is it a verb?
What part of speech?
What part of speech is it?
I am really thick, so I don't actually know what a verb is.
Okay, so a verb is an action.
Yes, it's a verb.
Natalie and I go into like teacher mode.
Yeah, cut that bit out before, yeah. Okay. Don't cut it out. Genuinely learn.
It's a verb. I'm gonna just say it's like you're gonna like donner off, like you're gonna jet off, like you gotta go somewhere fast.
Kathleen, yours makes sense because I'm like, yeah, like you're gonna bugger off.
This is why I have to guess first because I will literally only think of one thing.
Yeah, otherwise I guess I stick with my guess of just being like, you're finished. You're done.
How's that a verb?
Let's hear it in a sentence.
Yes.
Shall we go for a wee donna?
Is it a drink?
Like a walk. Natalie, how is a drink a verb?
Go for a drink. Drink is a verb.
Well, if you're drinking, that's a verb.
Drink to drink.
Why am I? You're the English major. What's happening?
You drink. Drink
Did
is
I just
a verb.
Use it in a verb way there, by the way? Was that a verby way?
Was that? No.
That was probably a noun.
Maybe it isn't a verb.
It was a noun. That was more of a noun.
I'll be honest. I do know this word. It's just been pronounced a little bit differently.
Ooh, what's the Dondonian pronunciation?
Yeah. Donder.
Donder. Ooh. Oh. That just sounds like a
hair
problem.
I just want it to be like a wander. Great. Like, yeah. I'm going to go for a stroll, yeah. A gallivant, if you will.
Mine was to, yeah, I know that makes it sound more like doo 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 doo. Yeah, I'll just stick with mine because why not? Like that you're just.
So you're guessing.
Get somewhere quick, like get out of here. Although you throwing in the donder has made it completely wrong, but whatever.
Mine's a stroll. I'm the opposite of quick. It's a meander.
Oh, okay.
Can I tell you?
Yes.
Yes, it is exactly that. It's a little stroll, and I feel that what makes it different from a stroll is it, well, a stroll could have this, but it's got no real meaning to it. It's got no need to get anywhere. It's just a wee donna with no aim in it other than
like wandering,
having a donna, a wee stroll.
It's the kind of physical version of a blether.
Uh-huh, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Like if you're a blether, you're just like, you know, you're
that's
just, there's nothing serious, you just chat about whatever comes up. Under goes like, you just walk whenever you're...
That's great.
So basically, Natalie won that one because Adam had to interfere again.
So it's my fault.
And yeah, also because I'm very smart and intelligent and learning. Back to the show!
So what did you find out about Rob? Robbie?
So I found out that, how far to go back now, but he was born in 1671 and he lived to a ripe old age of like 62. He was a legend and he did all those things that he was, you know, famed for in the story and the film. He gave back to the peasants, he gave back to his villagers and who he looked after on his land. He was a MacGregor. Now, the interesting thing about the MacGregors was that they were actually outlawed. They'd been outlawed 100 years earlier. Their name could not be used.
Yeah.
And anyone, you know, there was a price on their head for any MacGregor using their name. A lot of the chieftains were killed 100 years before, and the women branded and sold off into slavery in colonies. So this is all crazy stuff 100 years before. To be fair, I think they did something pretty atrocious at some battle. But so the fact that he was calling himself MacGregor when he was still under this outlaw, the whole name was under this outlaw, and there was money on his head, just shows what a sort of proud man he was. But yeah, he was born in the sort of peak of the very no I think the north or the west of Loch Katrine, which is in the Trossachs, very close to Loch Lomond, about 3 miles from Loch Lomond, and is beautiful.
Oh
Actually,
my
one of
God,
my
it's so
favorite
good.
parts.
Oh, see me and I just jumped in the car once and just drove, and then I was ended up like going all the way up by Loch Lomond, away up to Glencoe, and you're just
Up
like
that west side,
it's like
up the
every
west
single
side.
yeah every corner you're just like, whoa, what? It's just
It
stunning.
blows my mind. It
Yeah.
blows my mind that drive up the west side of Loch Lomond, up past Cameron House and all that.
Oh God,
I
it's
mean, it's
amazing.
like as you start to head up into the Highlands, no matter what the weather, the clouds, it's like mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
So where he was born, that's like it's technically the Highlands, but it's very close to the like edge of it, right?
Well, this is the interesting thing that I discovered, that I've always hated the fact, not hated the fact, but as a, I wanted after films like Rob Roy that came out, I wanted to be Highlander, I wanted to be born in the Highlands, but I'm very much a Lowlander. And this was the border between the Lowlands and the Highlands. So, the Lowlands was becoming less Highland, less, I don't know how you'd put it. Help me out. It was just becoming more, there was more lawyers, there was less blue collar in a way, I guess. And the Highlands was still very untamed, no roads, no cities. So the Highlands was that, and that was where you took the cows for fatting, and then they drove them down, back down to the Lowlands and sold them at Glasgow. So this was right on the border of it, and it's what sort of made the MacGregors, or Rob certainly and his family and men, untouchable. Because once he went up there, the redcoats just couldn't find them or wouldn't find them. They'd lose too much. It would, it was a battle they couldn't win. So when they fled, the MacGregors were up into the Highlands, and they were sort of safe using the name. He would still sign MacGregor on legal documents and things. So he had this real pride in his name and his clan. But yeah, so that was one of his jobs. He was a cattle drover. That was what they did. And he, would buy, would take cows, cattle down, and they would sell them at market, and then he would buy again and take them back up. And he would do this for very influential men, or very influential lords like Montrose, Athol, and there was another one. There's three of them, and they basically he sat his house, Catrin, sat right in the middle. His land sat right in the middle of these three lords' lands, so he could play them off against each other. But around about the early 1700s, he became very, in favor with them because he was a great cattle drover. He worked well as part of their outfit, so he really fell into favor with them.
He was protecting their livelihood.
He was, yeah, until he wasn't, because he. And actually, very good point there. There was this thing. Another interesting thing was that there was a thing called black mal, or du mal, which would translate to blackmail, which was basically a protection money. And he was taking protection money from people. And if you didn't pay it, then your cattle probably went missing, probably at his hands. So it was an old blackmail, and they used to run that as well. So that was sort of a bit that I found a bit. Okay, there's a little, but the
Yeah.
reality was he was stealing from the Montroses and anyone that didn't pay it on that side of it, and he was giving money back to the people of his community. But it all went wrong around 1711 when the big man borrowed. Now, there's a couple of stories about this, but he either, as is in the film, he borrowed £1,000 from Montrose. Montrose,
Well,
who's
that would have
very
been
well
loads
to
then,
do.
right? A thousand
God, yeah,
quid.
I thought that. Thousand
Jesus.
pounds.
My God, I mean, that's going to be hundreds of thousands,
I'll
right?
convert it. Keep going.
Oh my
I mean,
God. We love doing this on the show. When someone says something about money, we're like, how much is that now?
£1,000, it would be the equivalent of in dollars, about actually $1,000 now, isn't it? There's no conversion there. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, to put it into perspective, Rob Roy had some quite extensive lands, and jumping forward in the story to come back. He, at one point, his lands were bought by Montrose at a significantly jumped up price, and it was £800. And he had significant lands. I mean, he owned half of the, Rob Roy at one point owned half the west side of Loch Lomond, you know. So that whole, so that, to put it into perspective, £1,000 was a lot of money.
In today's money, it would be $170,000, about £141,000.
Wow. Wow, the exchange rate is still okay. That's glad to know that. Thank God.
At time of recording, if you're listening to this, yeah, exactly. 2 months from now.
Wait, guys, hold on the hold on those per diems. Yeah, hold on the per diems. Don't, not yet.
I just love the fact that he was, just to go back a little bit, he's cutting about writing his surname, like Piers Gallus, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Gallus. And it's on his gravestone. You know, I think it was added later. No,
every time
else.
He signs a contract, he's giving them the finger.
Yeah. To Montrose as well. And I you know, Montrose was, you know, Rob Roy was known as a Jacobite sympathiser, even at that time. He, in fact, more than that, he'd been involved in one of the Jacobite battles at the end of the 1600s. All this. So they were on the Jacobite side. Montrose wasn't. So, and when he used to sign legal documents, because you can see them, with Montrose, he used to sign his name MacGregor, and you just think, the man was untouchable because he was so loved. So that goes to show, you know, that actually the film's come back to it, or you know, the stories are true. He was this real folk hero, you know.
Yeah.
A genuine folk hero. He was so loved. You know, when they put out these, there was £300 on his head, £500 on his head at points. And, you know, which is, a couple of hundred thousand to someone that's got a small rented house, and they wouldn't take it. No one would give him up. So that's how much of a hero he was. So this £1,000 that he borrowed from Montrose, Montrose reacted very quickly. To be fair, so did Rob Roy. Rob Roy very quickly signed over all of his cows, all of his things to his family, as you do.
Loophole!
Knowing that trouble was coming. Yeah.
Come at me, I have nothing.
Yeah. Montrose said, where's my money? I just haven't got any, mate. It's gone, sorry. But the story for that £1,000 that Rob Roy gave, which I don't believe because he was an incredible swordsman, and jeweler, he had 20 jewels in his lifetime, one just before his death, which we'll come to, but he never lost one of these jewels, 20 jewels, and he also had one at 60 years old, he had a jewel, which, you know, in those terms is probably, you know, you're 90 in Scotland at that time.
Yeah.
But his story was that there was a couple of likely lads that he was wandering, did a bit of his walk with, and when they woke up in the morning, the money was gone. It's an age-old story, and we know it to be rubbish. Do you know what I mean? What did you get up to last night? Where's all your stuff? Oh, nothing. I just went home, and all my stuff's gone. I don't know what happened. You didn't go anywhere? You didn't go to the pub or anything? Nah. I just, no phone, no nothing. That's weird. Yeah. Went home after work, and gone. So that was his story. There's a couple of stories. The one in the film is another story that he gave it to a trusted man who took it. Anyway, Montrose didn't take kindly to it and very quickly put a, you know, called him out as an outlaw, bankrupt, all that. Too quickly. I mean, even now historians go, it was strange. So it was obviously tied in with the Jacobite thing, or tied in with just wanting his land, because Rob had land at the time. So yes, that was the trouble, and that is where the trouble started for Rob at the age of, well, he must have been, you know, late 20s, and that's the sort of time where the film hits. Yeah, that's where trouble started for him.
In the sense of, like, the people who he was like...
The next 10 years of his life, he was, I mean, maybe 15 years, he was an outlaw, and he was... chased by Montrose and his men, as we see in the film, these sort of fantastic daring escapes. They were all there and more. There's a couple of great stories that I'll get to, but you know, Montrose as well. There's a moment in the film which is a horrific moment when Montrose marches his men up to Rob Roy's Mary, his wife, who we haven't touched on, Mary, his wife's home.
Jessica Lange.
Yeah, Jessica Lange, exactly. Fuck it. I mean, incredible. Just I get goosebumps. She did an incredible, incredible performance. There's so many moments in that film, the way Michael's directs them and the way they all work together. It's just like the incredible performances, the stillness in moments like that. And the walk into the Loch Katrine or Loch Lomond after is just...
Ugh, I know.
But this moment that we're talking about is, people spoke about it and they've said that, you know, Montrose marched his men up, his factor was there, and this factor that we'll come back to as well, played by Brian Cox, if you're thinking of the film, and they burnt all the houses, they got all the villagers and everyone that was on Rob's land got chucked out, and Mary McGregor was raped at the hands and branded at the hands of certainly the factor. So that was Montrose's quick rebuttal to this. And you know, they don't understand why. So he's obviously felt slighted. Now there's no way back from that, as you sort of can imagine. And that starts a sort of 10 years war between Rob, the McGregors, and Montrose. But he's too smart for them. He, you know, they, as you see in so many wars, and as you see in modern wars that people love to jump into, that going into someone's territory whose home it is, who knows that land, and trying to take it just doesn't work. And that's what he has for 10, 15 years on and off, really. But Rob has this great sense of humour in how he goes through with it. You know, meetings are arranged to which Rob knows that there's a trap, so sort of does a counter-attack. There was one where I think Montrose went and, you know, sent his men down to reclaim a bit of land, and while he's down reclaiming a bit of land, Rob was up stealing his cattle and taking them down south. And then when they came back down, the soldiers, to reclaim the cattle, there's all these redcoats, this small army platoon. As they went down, Rob went back up and went in and stole all the grain that was there for the winter. I mean, this brilliant banter, isn't it? It's great crack. And the best bit is he left a receipt saying, whatever it was, this is for the, you know, we'll take this for the rent. Yours, Rob Roy McGregor. We'll take this for the rent of the...
Because at the same time, if I know my history, at the same time, his Montrose is like holding McGregor's land, and all of his tenants are still paying McGregor rent, but claiming bankruptcy. They're like, oh, we don't have it.
Yeah.
To Montrose's men. Meanwhile, just getting robbed. Just getting straight robbed.
It's brilliant.
They must have really hated him.
Oh my goodness. I mean, like the crack with how he did it, you know, I just think it's brilliant. Oh, that was what it was. It wasn't even he stole. They went down on a mission. They chucked everyone out of their houses, a mission, whatever, pillaging. And they chucked the soldiers chucked everyone out of their houses and went, we're sleeping here tonight. So when they did that, the guys had nowhere to sleep. So they went, all right. So up they went, nicked the cows, came back, and then up and got the grain. And just the note is just brilliant. You just think.
You know he signed it McGregor too.
Exactly. It's just great crack. And there's moments of those stories where such a sort of sense of humour with it. And I just think that is brilliant, that charm that he had, and why he was so loved then, and why he should be more loved now.
Yeah.
He really should, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, that again, it just, like, adds to the whole gallus nature of the man. Like,
exactly.
He, you know, they're going up and stealing grain and cattle. They could have essentially gotten away with it by not, you know, just keeping quiet, but they're like, I don't even know.
Exactly. I love it.
I want to make sure you know exactly.
Oh, God. I've been in your house, right? Yeah. This is all I'm saying. I could have taken anything. Yeah. I could have, you know, burnt it.
I could have tried on all your pants.
Exactly, which you probably did. But all I did, I just nicked this grain. Thanks very much, by the way. This is old. I just think it's brilliant.
By the way, go fuck yourself.
Exactly, yeah.
Go back home now.
It's not threatening, is it? It's just like such ease.
I mean, it is kind of threatening to just be like, I can get to you wherever. It's very Liam Neeson.
Yeah. There's such a threat in someone just being in your home, you know?
Yeah.
Being able to get into your space so easily. But yeah, he also kidnapped the factor. What was his name? Killearn. as in the film. He kidnapped the factor in about 1715. Now, this is the man that supposedly had, you know, branded and raped his wife. But he kidnapped the factor, and he did take him to, there's an island, I think it's in Loch Katrin, called Killearns Island. And he took him to this little island, and he kept him there for 5 days. And then again, you know, this is Montrose's accountant. This is the man who collects all the rent, who keeps on top of all that stuff. So he's a real, you know, very important man, his right-hand man. And he, after 5 days, he lets him go. He did have £3,000 worth of rent that he just collected. So he kept that, he let him go. And again, this riled Montrose even more, because he, you know, normally, right, kill him now. And he just went, you know, it was almost like Montrose and Killearn were nothing to him, you know. Which riled him even more.
I mean, like, so where's Athol in all this then? Where's all the other, like, lairds?
Athol, it's at the bottom of your back, it's just between the bum cheeks. Athol. Oh, Athol!
Oh, gosh.
Good deal.
So, Athol, there was three of them, wasn't there? There was Montrose. So, Athol is Rob Keeps On Side. So, he offers him... Because was Athol a Jacobite sympathiser? I mean, it's quite tricky, isn't it? Because they went between the two.
Yeah.
But certainly he offered him, and there was somebody else, there was another lord, he offered him Haven. And, you know, there was a point as well that I think Montrose asked Rob to speak out against Athol. And again, he wrote it in a letter, a public letter, and just said, I've been asked to do this. He's going to wipe off all my debts. No. So again, it was just like that, you know, he had no, it was all about this name and, you know, protecting what was right, he could sense of morals. So yeah, Athol was on side, and so the other lord, he sort of managed to play
them off. Argyle?
That's it, Argyle, yeah, that was the one, I think he was, played a big part.
So it seems to be that Montrose was the one who was really kind of like, fuck him!
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, he was humiliating him left and right, yeah. Center.
Maybe he was the weak link.
Yeah.
He seemed to be a little fragile. Bit of fragile masculinity.
Well, what he did to get him back was, I'm going to buy your lands at auction, and he buys them for above the market rate. I'm going to buy them, and I'm going to pay a lot of money for them, more than what they're worth. That'll show you.
And then your tenants won't pay me rent.
Exactly, yeah. He really saved face there with doing that, paying him over the odds for something.
Guys, stop. Can I just butt in a little bit? Because, like, I just want to find it. Because, like, we're a few episodes into season two, and I just feel now that with all the practicing of the Scottish accent and that nat, you're mm-hmm. going to be pretty
practicing
good.
Day in
and I'd like
day
to hear
out.
How you're getting on. How are you getting on?
Well, you know, I've been just nonstop practicing. It's all I do.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm. It's really becoming an issue in my relationship because okay. I won't stop trying to do a Scottish accent. And
I was actually surprised that you didn't jump into a Scottish accent throughout the record, because it can be quite an addictive accent to jump
yes.
on. And actually, you've stayed true. You've gone, no, I'm not gonna, no Scottish
until
words are gonna creep into.
I wait until I'm given permission to make an ass out of myself by trying to do somebody else's.
It's funny because we actually, Stuart, continuously say, I'll say that I tend to do that with other accents, but that's why I love talking to Adam and on this podcast, because it is physically impossible. I would sound like such an asshole if I started accidentally mimicking you. It would
just
sound
even a little eye sometimes.
Oh no, I just throw an eye.
Oh my
we
god.
We like to oh
I
oh,
I know
eye.
Exactly.
I love that oh.
Oh god.
I love it. Great. It is something that we do. Oh. And it could be in any situation.
Yeah.
It could be good, it could be positive, it could be negative.
Kathleen, now that I have permission to, you know, put everyone to shame
let
with
loose.
My authentic
let loose.
Scottish accent, what's my line today?
So this is from the cult classic from 1989. I don't know if it was a cult classic over across the pond, but I guess
Batman.
They'll let us know.
Batman?
Heathers.
Yeah.
And
I love that film.
The quote is, fuck me gently with a chainsaw. Do I look like Mother Teresa?
Oh, okay. Wow.
This was a request.
Oh, we'll start with an och. Oh.
Yeah. Fuck me gently with a chainsaw. Do I look like Mother Teresa?
And go.
You would think that a fuck would be easier, because I hear it all the time. I only hear the word fuck in a Scottish accent.
Yeah, especially in the voice notes that I leave you.
Yeah.
Stu, you're our guest. What did you think?
Can I hear it one more time, or is that not?
Yes.
That was a genuine ugh.
I know.
Fuck me gently with a chainsaw. Do I look like Mother Teresa? Teresa's hard.
Mm. Yeah. Teresa.
Teresa. Oh, because I was trying to still do an S, and yours is the Z.
Teresa. Yeah. So, Stu, what do you think?
You haven't got the job, I'm afraid. You're not, no, we're going with somebody else for the film. We've got this guy who's very good at the office. I thought, listen, my thing with Scottish accents is that I get annoyed with people getting so pissed off with Scottish accents and things. I think there's so many varying Scottish accents. It's about the confidence that you bring to it, and I've got no problem with it. Liam Neeson and Rob Roy, Mel Gibson and Braveheart. Whoa, 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 whoa. I haven't got an issue with it. But you're not going to be in Rob Roy, I'm afraid. But I have to say, what I loved was the softness of it. I think sometimes with a Scottish accent, people love to drag all the T's and all that. And you never hear that accent. So I like the softness. Yeah. You weren't trying to hit it too much. A subtle hint of Scottish.
Heard it here first. I'm a soft Scot.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but it is quite a soft.
The only thing soft about her. Yeah.
I don't know why I just agreed with that.
Because it must be rock hard muscle.
Adam has Stockholm syndrome.
I was with tears in his eyes. Yeah.
Adam is cancelled. We've cancelled Adam. Yeah. He's gone.
Get me out of here. Back to the show.
But yeah, so this, it continued for 15 years until, and there's a load of great stories in there that I'm going to try and find more of because, there's only a couple and you're trying to get the ones that have a bit of a basis in some sort of original story. But about 15 years, he was an outlaw. And then there was a couple of stories started turning up about him in sort of well-to-do London, written stories. One supposedly written by Rob himself. It was anonymous.
That's out of character because he
likes propaganda. You know, exactly. Stick it on there. Just write John McGregor. Don't put your whole name on. So this General Wade, who I didn't know much about. Do you know about General Wade?
I've heard the name, but I don't know if it was like at this moment in time. I have heard that name before.
I feel like I know it in an American sense, you know?
Yeah.
Not a Scottish sense. But this guy, this dude, whoever he is, he was a general. His name was Wade. I'm sure he's very important. He pardoned him about, 15 years later. So whenever that was, he's probably 40 years old. And he retires. He's sort of famous now, and he says that he's off to go and live a quiet life, which actually in reality he was about a mile or two, couple of miles from the McGregor sort of base. So really he was very involved in the McGregor running of the clan and all that. And he lives there with Mary, and I don't actually know when Mary passed away. I feel like he was there with Mary. I'm sure he was there with Mary for a bit, having a lovely time.
That's what we want for him.
And he how he dies, he's 62 and he has a duel with some dude over a bit of land. Or there was another one that he had a story about a joke went wrong and they had a duel. And it used to be, it was to first blood. So, first cut or first blood. So, it wouldn't have been fatal, but he took a blow, and they think that turned into whatever, and he passed away at 62. But this dude's having it's the only duel that he's ever lost. 20 duels he had in his lifetime, and that was the only one he lost. But he's having duels at 60. Legend, absolute legend.
What, was just like an infection or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably went septic.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that the joke went wrong is something about one of the Jacobite uprisings, there's a battle that Rob Roy doesn't make it to. And
that was it.
And this guy's like dad this other, I can't remember the guy, but the guy's like dad was there, I think. And it was, the joke was whether or not it was more of a disservice to the cause that like his dad was there than that Rob Roy didn't make it. Like which of them was more worthless, the one who was actually there or the one who didn't even show up.
Great banter though. I mean, he's got to expect that he's going to get that. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like if you, I mean, there's a couple of times he did that with a couple of battles where he went, he was rocking up. Ah, sorry, I was late, lads. I was heading over and I saw that you guys didn't need my help. And I thought, what's the point in getting involved and getting dead? So we just turned around and we left. That happened a couple of times. And you're like, ah, that's why you lived to 62. And of course you're going to, folk are going to rip the piss out of you in the pub. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Mate,
where were you?
Like, oh, here he is.
It's important. Here he fucking is. So, you know. And then he goes, yeah, well, do you know what? I'm not fear. Oh, come on, let's duel. And then he's dead. So,
oh, here, have a wee bit of sepsis.
Yeah, exactly. I'll finish off. You should have done that battle, mate.
I'm going to let you die slowly instead.
Exactly. With sepsis. What's sepsis? I don't know, but it's horrible. Horrible. Yeah, there was a couple of battles where he skipped out. And the stories are sort of like, oh, he was meant to be there. But there was no record of him being there.
Or he was on his way.
Yeah.
But by the time he got there, a greater part of the forces had already been diminished.
Exactly, yeah.
I just imagine him rocking up with like a whole load of cattle. And they're like, oh, Rob, for fuck's sake, man. What are you deviating off to steal cattle?
Exactly. Just let me finish this, lads. We'll still be here in an hour. I need to get these dropped off. They're closing. I'll get these dropped off. I'll come down. Oh, is it 1 o'clock for the fight? Let me go up the road. It's like, it's just mental that it must have seemed by the third time that he did it. I mean, there must have been so...
A quick wit, but terrible time management.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, very, very smart. And I'm sure so many people did that, you know? I mean, you think about it, anyone that was sort of landed gentry or anything, or any of the ones that we hear about, they're not in the battle, you know? They get people to write stories about them being in the battle, but they're way back, watching it from afar. And, you know, there's not... He would have been in that battle, you know? I think he led about 30 men, or he was walking down with 30 men. So, yeah, there must have been so many stories of people that just went... How's this going? It was smart. They went, there's no chance. You know, why are we dying for this?
Yeah. I mean, because like, I mean, it'd be easy just to not turn up.
100%, yeah. I was there. Did you not
see me? I was there.
Yeah. Over by the beer tent. Did you not? No, not that beer tent. Beer tent. I meant Red Bull tent. I was there by that one. Yeah. What? There wasn't red. There was no. What are you talking about?
Just running up at the end, going. It's metal.
Hit me. Jeez. Hit me quick.
Yeah. He just like rolls in the dirt before he runs. Oh man, things got really out of hand that time.
Wow. That was mental. There,
well, they used him for his like strengths as a known outlaw, which I think is interesting because it's like he became an outlaw with the Duke of Montrose, the Duke Montrose thing, but like Bro was born an outlaw, wasn't really given much of a choice, just really exactly. Owned it by putting his name on everything.
Exactly. But
there's what's the castle? I know that there's a castle that the Scots were using to stockpile like gunpowder and using to like hold supplies, and then when the English took it, Rob Roy. And I'm sure like Rob Roy and co were sent to basically blow up all of the stores, everything that was being stored in the castle so that the English couldn't get it. So sometimes his tardiness was planned.
Exactly.
If we lose this battle, if we lose this castle, Rob Roy's going to show up late and he's going to fucking blow it up.
Yeah. So that they can't get their hands on it. Yeah. Wrong castle, mate. It's the wrong castle.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Not that one. It's just the grain store. You fucking blown the castle up.
This is what we're discovering now. Is everybody thinks that Rob Roy was like this tactical, strategic genius. And like up to hijinks, but really he was just Mr. Magooing his way through it.
Exactly.
Yeah. He just missed. Basically, that's what we're saying. Off this episode, Rob Roy was Mr. Bean.
Yeah. Did he do any of those things?
Tripping and falling onto the field, stabbing folk.
Oh, sorry.
A hero.
Oh my God, Rob Roy, he's a fucking hero. So back then, people were saying it like it's sarcastic. Oh, what, Rob Roy the hero, aye?
The hero, exactly. Him. The one that blew up. Why,
the tardy hero.
I love that he wrote, that like he may have written stories about himself. I love that.
I know.
I feel like he did it for a laugh, though. Like, he wasn't like, let me read this fire of my legacy. I think he was just like, oh, I bet I could write one.
I just love it when they're collating the stories and then there's just this like hand pushing another bit of paper in. And they're like, what is this? What do you keep pushing this on?
And then he just pushes like a £10 note afterwards.
Yeah.
We're collecting for the Bible here. What is this? Is it a biblical story? No, it can be. It can be. Would you need a miracle or something?
Publish it wherever you want.
Yeah, I'll stick it in. On his own sort of headed note paper. Oh no, I just found, I've written it. Somebody's told, I wrote it down for them. But they... Yeah, the story was legit, yeah.
He wrote it with his left hand so that it didn't look like his handwriting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They said they wanted to write the story, and I just felt like I needed to write it down for them because they couldn't write. I mean, it's a bit embarrassing, I'll be honest.
Get them here if you want, but they're a bit smelly, so, you know, they could tell you the story, but they're dead now, I'm afraid.
Sometimes I feel like, should we feel bad for ultimately always taking the piss out of someone?
We do this.
Hero, but you know what? I feel like Rob Roy would appreciate it. I feel
absolutely.
Like,
yeah, but look. Further down the line, people are going to talk about Boris Johnson like he was a good prime minister, because like
fair.
we edit things, and we're like, oh God, he got Brexit done and all that shite. You know, you got the big questions right and the big, you know what I mean? But he's a clown.
If Rob was here, while I'm making jokes about him, he would be nicking my cattle. So. Yeah, fair.
Absolutely, and your grain, you'd be in your cupboards, you'd have your flour out, you'd have it all out.
All of my
little
snacks.
Note though, saying,
hiya, it's me.
Exactly. No, you'd be all right, because you're, oh, I don't know, maybe you are gentry, but he would leave you money. That's what he would do. If you were on his land, he would leave you money.
It's like a secretary note while you were out.
Yeah, and again, him writing it. Wait a minute, I got one of these notes, and then I got this story that somebody wrote. I'm just saying... I see a lot of similarities here, Rob.
Yeah.
So, is McGregor the one... We know where Rob Roy is buried, right?
I feel like we do. He has a grave, yeah.
It's saying here, Balquhidder Church. Balquhidder.
Say that again.
Balquhidder. Balquhidder.
Oh my God, his tombstone? This is iconic. His tombstone says McGregor despite them.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it?
I
despite them.
I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it brilliant? Despite them, fantastic. And another one that he said, this is great, and it stuck with me, and I'm trying, if I've forgotten it already, but I'm trying to imprint it in my head, that on his deathbed, he said, it's over. He said something, but he said, bring in the piper. And I love that as a sort of end to something, yeah. It's such a Gaelic great, but bring in the piper. We're done now. Bring in the piper. You know, it's a great little phrase.
I like that Gallus to the end, though, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, so it says here, Balquhidder Church Cemetery. That's where he is. That's where his body's buried.
There you go. Right. And you can do the Rob Roy Walk, which is, you know, it's not the Highland Way, but it's a lot quieter. And that, I think, might run along that sort of Highland, Lowland barrier, which, you know, up through the Trossachs, which would be worth doing. I think it's shorter. I think it might be 5 days rather than seven or whatever. But that's going to be a beautiful walk.
Have you ever done anything like that?
No.
At all?
No, I'd like to.
I've just never... I think it's because, you know, when you're born here and you just take loads for granted.
I know. I feel like it's something we're going to do... Home is 60. Do you know what I mean? Because it's a bit like if you go
to... I'll be there before you.
Just keep correcting the guide. I was there.
It's like if you've got 7 days off, you know, with the kids, and you know, you can't really be like, listen, I'm going to... Where are you going? I'm just going up to do this West Island Way. I might do the Rob Roy Way while I'm at it. Where? What?
The kids are like that. No.
Yeah. I'll carry you, don't worry, it's fine.
Can I bring my video games?
Yeah, you can. If you come with me, you can. That's a good point, actually. It'd be a good thing to do when the kids are a bit older, make them just walk. Walk it.
Enjoy nature and the history of our nation.
enjoy this.
You know, like you can hire a van, right? You can hire like a little camper van and just do like the North 500. And you can do all that. My kids, and I have spoke to Isla and Lachlan about it, and they're like, they seem to get excited. But then I think they're like, do you know what you're getting excited about? Because it's a lot of walking.
Yeah. I feel like that would be an amazing way to do it, though. That would be great fun in a camper van, or even like a transit. But just something that you could put a big mattress in the back of, and the three, you'd just be in, you know. A camper van would be, I mean, it'd be so much fun. It would be about the sleeping and all that.
Yeah.
And cooking outside and eating in Wetherspoons. I'm sure there's Wetherspoons up there. But you know, like, yeah, you do have to sort of temper what is exciting to you and then what's exciting to the kids. And really, as long as there's ice cream. And
you can't just go, it's a walk for days.
There's rock pools.
Stuart, you're planning this trip for Adam, but you keep saying the three of you. So in my mind, the three of us are going to go together.
Let's do it. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Guys, we gotta wrap up this episode. We've got a trip to plan.
One camper van stroke transit van with a mattress in the back.
I'll sleep on the top.
Oh, they would be amazing. Have sleep you seen those things?
Yeah.
Just like blow up tent, you know, like a tent on the roof.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Those tents are built like that you could put on the roof, like the roof.
Exactly, tent. And it folds out. So I'm like,
yeah, I'm right into that.
Tiger. Right.
Creature comforts. Creature comforts.
Hey, there you go. Two up there. So, one in the transit.
Yes.
Plan.
But to wrap up this episode, Rob Roy, Gallus AF.
Exactly. Pure Gallus. A pure Gallus individual.
I'm also just really happy for you, Stuart, that he lived up to the movie that you so love.
I know. He really did. And you sort of go, I want to see something about... I know. Well, I actually started on William Wallace because he's got a great connection to Air. And then I just thought, no, because I'm going to find out so much was a bollocks.
Yeah.
But I was amazed by the fact that they've stayed so closely. I mean, really so closely to when doing the script. Quite amazing. So watch that film if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
If anyone hasn't seen it.
I want to watch it again. I mean, and Brian McCarty's in it, right?
Brian's brilliant in it.
Yeah, yeah. And he was like he was a guest on season one.
Yes.
Sure.
He's fantastic, and again, just an amazing performance. Just like gut wrenching. Yeah. Brilliant.
Well, thank you again for joining us and, you know, for joining us on our future trip
around Scotland.
Around
the
Scotland.
The future documentary of the 500 in a transit. Transiting the 500. Love it. Let's do it.
Tell everyone where they can find you on the internet or tell them to leave you alone.
There's many different sites that you can find me on.
OnlyFans.
What is in the... OnlyFans. Many other sites that I don't, you know, trying to get those taken down. What is social media? I'm on Instagram. That's us. I'm Stuart Martin on Instagram. I think I'm Stuart Dash. But I think if you stick Stuart Martin in, it pops up.
Look for the one with the blue check, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Blue check, 100%. None of those other ones. Yeah,
they're all false.
Funny ones.
All right, you can find links to that so you follow the right Stuart Martin in the notes of this episode. As always, we'll also share some visual aids below in the notes, but also on our social media at Under the Kilt Pod on both Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah,
and you can write us a note on our website underthekiltpodcast.com. Write us nice things. Tell us you love us. We are actors and we require constant positive reinforcement. In that way, also, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Do it.
Do it,
you monsters.
Exactly.
Until next time.
Stay breezy. This episode of Under the Kilt was produced by Kathleen Mueller-Mason and edited by Natalie Younger. Original theme by Tyler Collins, aka 2 Meter Man. Additional music by Gareth Spin. Original art by Sarah Cruz. Thanks again to our lovely guest, Stuart Martin, and the team at Broadsheet Radio.